Welcome to Wind Down Wednesday with Suze Hill, the show that may just interview your favorite local celebrities. We talk everything travel, cocktails, wine, restaurant faves, interviews with business owners and entrepreneurs and restaurateurs, or just wind down to talk real life happenings with friends and fellow moms. I'm Suze Hill, your host, and get ready because you can catch all that and more right here on Wind Down with Suze Hill. Now, grab your favorite beverage and let's get started. Welcome.
Thanks.
Thanks for doing this.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's get started. So, welcome to Wind Down with Suze Hill, and this is the Girls Trippin' series, and this episode is 50 and Fabulous, and Now What? So let's introduce ourselves, tell everybody how we know each other. Whoever
Christy,
wants to go first.
Hi, I'm Christy, known Suzanne and Shalene, well, I guess really Suzanne since seventh grade, got really close with Shalene our freshman year, and then we were roommates out of high school. So that was fun.
Yeah. So how many years is that?
Oh. I don't think I've actually put the pen to paper. So for you and I, yes.
Is it 37?
That's math.
Is it 37?
Yeah, 37.
I know it's like, it's
hold on,
over,
let me get my calculator.
Yeah. Yeah. It's over 35 years though. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
For
that's
sure.
Hard to come by nowadays. With everybody moving and social media and everything else, I don't really feel like our kids have that same bond with their friends. Maybe they do.
No, I agree. Yeah. So, introduce yourself.
Hi.
Next one.
Morrison. And, of course, you know how long I've known Christy and Suzanne both. Same. We all went to middle school and high school together. So, I love that we share the bond of growing up together because we know where we were, what happened, and who the players in the game were. Then when we got to our young adult years, you know, right after high school, Christy and I lived together. Suzanne was also in Fort Worth, and we saw each other here and there because Christy and I lived with each other about a year. But we all started going to college or working or raising families or whatever.
Right.
But I say grown. What did I say earlier? I can't remember how I said it, but grown. But we reconnected basically when our kids were grown.
Yes.
And some of them, I still have one in the nest. Miles is 16, Emily's 21, and she's living on her own for the first time. But so we've reconnected, and I love sharing the bond that we had when we were kids. And then, you know, we would see each other at reunions and stuff, but we didn't really come back together to forge our friendships, where pick up where we left off until, I don't know, about 5 years ago.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yes. Wow. Yes. It's been an amazing journey. We all turned 50 in 2023.
Yes, we did.
So, yeah.
And we had a blast.
We celebrated every chance we could get to celebrate 50.
Yeah,
we're going to continue.
Yes, we are.
Our calendars off for everybody's 50th birthdays to make sure that we had that birthday party blocked. You know, some people traveled, some people didn't. So Christy and I were the staycations, if you will.
Yeah.
But we made sure that we, you know, celebrated in every possible way we could, wherever our peeps went. But man, we traveled together and had so much fun.
So much fun.
We did. And, you know, turning 50 was pretty exciting for all of us. But it has been a journey. Each one of us have our own unique health journey stories.
Yes,
and
we
it's
do.
Like, it's like, you know, at 50, at 40, we all got readers.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I know that for a fact. I know we all went to the glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 50, it's like freaking menopause hits for all three of us. Maybe even a little bit before we turned 50. But it's like in the last year, it was so much fun, but we've also had so many different health issues. It's like we're falling apart already, but we did make the best of it. So
let's talk about our menopause journey, because for those that know or have listened to any of my podcasts before, I've done one or two on menopause. I do have a part two coming out of menopause, of some of the research and some more books and information and just my personal opinions on what has helped me. But let's talk about our menopause journey, because I know that each one of us have had a very unique and very different, you know, journey as far as menopause goes. So when mine, I'll make mine quick. Mine, you know, started, I can't even remember when it hit me, and then it went away for a moment, and then it came back and I finally broke down and ended up, you know, long story short, getting on a little small estrogen patch. Had the hot flashes, had the night sweats, had the weight gain, about 20 pounds in a year. And if anybody knows me, that part of it was what I struggled with the most, because me and weight gain is no bueno. I'm a health fanatic. I'm a fitness guru. I'm not going to say guru. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to say guru, because I'm not really a fitness guru, but I try to be, or I pretend to be. but I do work out like quite often, many, many, many times a week, and nothing was helping. So I went to
wait, Suzanne, how old were you? Let's start with perimenopause. How were you when that started? Because one of my friends honestly asked me how old y'all were today.
I honestly don't even remember. I know I'm pretty sure that just some of the hot flashes, because I had a hysterectomy. So back up,
I had
a hysterectomy, but it's been over 10 years ago. So or late 30s, that's early 40s, maybe something like that. And I don't have my dates, and I didn't write it down. But I still have my ovaries. So I was still, you know, trucking along very healthy. That's another thing that drives me crazy, is I am a healthy person. I'm not, I don't even want to say it about being sick, but I am a very healthy person. Mm-hmm. And to deal with these kinds of things really just puts a huge damper on me and my life, like my lifestyle. Like I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And, you know, I mean, for the most part, I'm a pretty happy person, always very cheerful.
Yes.
And it definitely has made a huge difference in my attitude, my confidence, everything. It's affected everything. And it really has sucked. Now I'm in a much better place now than what I was. And I'm losing weight.
Well, you hit that well, Suzanne, by the way, because you're very emotionally intelligent. Mm-hmm. So even to your closest friends, we never thought once like, oh, let's go rescue her. Cause I know the three of us are big into go help them.
Yeah.
Let's pull together and cheer it on. You did a great job of managing that. So hats off to you, honey.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thanks. Thank you.
You've always been the glue. The glue that gets us all together.
Thanks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I know that y'all have had some, you know, we say we're falling apart at 50, although we look absolutely incredible. Mm-hmm. Just kidding.
We do.
Shoot our own horns, but we do.
There's
we
enough
do
negative look, talk
we
within
do
ourselves.
Look fabulous.
We have every reason to toot our own horn, but yes, we work hard at
yes.
it.
Yes. Yeah, we do work hard. So who wants to share your part of menopause? I know Shalene has kind of a longer story.
Christy, I want to know your age, so start with you next.
Okay, so I'm 50 now. I had my hysterectomy at 40.
Okay.
And first, I back that up. I had like a partial hysterectomy at 38. Oh. Yeah, 38. And it didn't really work. So I was still having menstrual cycles, which I shouldn't have had. Mm-hmm. So then that's why we went back 10 years ago and did a full hysterectomy. I kept my ovaries as well, Suzanne, because I wanted to work my body to work as naturally as possible for as long as possible.
Exactly. Right.
What I really noticed the biggest difference for me was, yes, glasses at 40, but also it's like my 50,000 mile warranty's up. It's more healthy, more of that kind of stuff. Because I mean, yeah, I'll have the occasional hot flash, but not like I don't think like other people are having that yet. I don't have that yet, but I do have occasional hot flashes. But for me, again, okay. I think it was more just like help. I had to have sinus surgery this year. I had to have an injection in my neck. And I also had foot surgery just at the beginning of this year. So for me, it's falling apart in a different way.
Those surgeries were like what, 2 months, 3 months apart, if that?
Oh yeah. Well, September. Yeah. All of these happened September through January.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah. Okay. So let's start with perimenopause, because the reason why I was wanting to ask your age is because this, I felt like menopause was the quote dirty little secret. So in my head, when I think menopause, I think, you know, I see the meme of the girl raising her hands from Orange is the New Black. And I'm like, menopause, you know, and it recently Trent got together, my husband, with his friend group from high school this week. And they all talked about, well, whose wife's going through menopause? And then one of our friends that I'm, what I love about our friendship is we are close and share a special bond together, but we also have extended groups within our class of 91. And then we also have extended friend groups in our schools, like each different classes of the time we're here, everybody's friends with everybody. And then we also have our personal friends that are work friends or, you know, life friends that we've made along the way. And I love how we have all that. And then we can talk and share with everybody. But I said to my husband, I'm not going to keep this a dirty little secret. And when one of our, it really helped me, actually, helped him move into a neighborhood we lived in. And one of my guy friends was sharing that he and his wife, because she's a little bit older than me, had gone through it. And he was like, yeah, this happened and that happened. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I feel like no one talks about this. And so for my extended group friends, some of them are in their 40s still. Some of them are even just now into their 40s, and I'm 50. And I'm like, girl, you're in perimenopause and you don't even know it. Sometimes I tell them, sometimes I don't. But for me, perimenopause started, I'll just say it started, the symptoms started in my late 40s. To be exact, the year 2000, I turned 47. And so I had to go through COVID and like full-blown perimenopause. I say full-blown because I always had night sweats. When I had Miles, I was 34. Not 35, because we were worried about that. But I had night sweats with him, and that extended on here and there from 35 after I had already had him at 34, all the way up until 47. So for 12 years, I would have those night sweats here and there. I never had daytime hot flashes, which was weird to me.
Gosh. Yeah, I would flush. I would get so flush. It was not comfortable at all.
Really? Would that happen to you like throughout the day?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, I'd be sitting there. I'd be talking or doing a meeting, you know, at my campus, and I would just turn wet and red in the face. It would be very uncomfortable.
And
I mean, anywhere.
Did you feel embarrassed?
A little bit. Now, a lot of people, if you really didn't know, like, I don't think it was super noticeable, but as the person that's like drenched, you know, you're like, okay, who is watching this happen? Like, it can you see sweat on my neck? Like, what can you see? You know, and it's just uncomfortable too. It's just very uncomfortable because it's such a weird, you can feel it coming on and then boom. And then you're like, oh my gosh. Then you like start fanning yourself. And I don't know. It's just uncomfortable.
Yeah, when I was in my 20s, I sold semiconductors for less than a year. And I was sitting across the desk from a lady having a hot flash in her mid 40s. And she's like, hold on, wait a minute. She grabs a piece of paper off her desk and starts fanning her face with it. And she's like, I can't talk right now. Hold on. And it was like, as a 20-year-old, and I'm watching this, and I didn't laugh. But I'm thinking in my head, oh my God, what is going on with her?
Yeah,
because nobody talked
about
it. What
is going to happen to me when I'm her age?
I know, he's the person having it. You're like, oh God, please don't let anybody be looking at me right now.
Right.
But you still have
We're just going to talk about it years later on a podcast.
Yeah,
we'll talk about it then. We won't say anything right now. We're going to say something about her now. So if you're the lady at the semiconductor place, sorry. You have no name, but we're going to use you as an example.
I don't even remember your name. It's 30 years ago. But
just traumatized. You have PTSD.
But like, so so I started off with night sweats, and they started happening more frequently and together. And then what really was the number one thing for me was the insomnia.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Forgot about insomnia.
Sleep.
Part of menopause. Yeah.
And then
I don't really struggle. I didn't really struggle with the not sleeping.
Okay. Oh, so what was crazy to me with not sleeping is I work out avidly too. I mean, in 2020, okay, so in 2020, COVID hits, here come the night sweats, here comes the insomnia. Then I had a heart palpitation. And I thought, oh my gosh, in my family health history, we don't have cancer at all. Not on my mom's side or my dad's side. Although that's another comment for another time. Anyways, heart conditions is what always my people mm-hmm. die from. So I thought, oh girl, get to the gym. You better get your cardio back on. Cause I was working out, but not as consistently. So in 2021, January 2nd, when all the businesses opened back up, I became the health nut I was before I had kids, because I was mm-hmm. running 5 miles a day before I had Emily, my first child. We've always, our friends here, Suzanne, Christy, and me have always been in shape and prioritized our health and prioritized exercise. But when you have kids, that takes a backseat to all your working out. Oh, yeah. Right. And so I got back into the gym, because now in 2020, my kids are, Emily was 18 and a senior in high school. So I got to go through COVID graduation with her. And then Miles was, thank God he loved Xbox and games, because he was doing all that. So they didn't see a lot of my perimenopause until here we are, 2023. And fast forward to, I'll just let this, you know, mm-hmm. spoiler alert. I almost bled to death from adenomyosis. Adenomyosis is my condition that they diagnosed me with. That's where the uterine lining thickens, can or cannot, it depends on your body, and everybody's body is different, but mine thickened because I got the pellets. Knew that they weren't the best, but didn't realize that I was at a pellet shop. Has since quit going to that OBGYN, but because he overdosed me, he did not check my blood every time. I didn't even know. Like, I sell real estate for a living. I don't know medical world. I don't know he's supposed to mm-hmm. check my blood every single quarter when he's dropping these pellets in me. And so I didn't know to watch. And maybe it was just because it was COVID and I'm overwhelmed and I'm not feeling well. And I mean, the real estate market was crazy too. So I had so many balls in the hopper, so to speak, like it's bingo. And right. So I just didn't know that part. And I hate that. If I could go back and change that one part about it, I wish I was more educated about that. So I hope to help other women be educated about that, and especially about pellets, because they're not FDA approved. They're right. not regulated. They can be very dangerous if you're not with the right doctor, but we'll go into that another time. But long story short, my uterus grows into the abdominal wall. You start to bleed and I almost bled to death. And it was a very scary experience. Thank God I didn't. And I'm here to live another day and have so much fun with my girls. And of course, my family, all my friends, everybody. But it just was, if I, you know, looking back is always hindsight 2020. And so my goal, and especially on this podcast and with my closest friends, is to be able to be in a comfortable place, to in a comfortable space with people you love, that we can say, yeah, this happened to me and here were my symptoms. But so back up to the heart palpitation. I ended up going to the Plano ER, checked out, no heart attack, never had a heart attack, all that. So I was like, what could this be? Mm-hmm. And then, so that was in 2021, heart thing. Was it heart ER in 2021? No, I just went to the gym. 2022 is when I went to the heart ER, because it didn't start bothering me until way later. That's correct. Mm-hmm. And then I had gotten the pellets. So the symptoms that I had experienced, and I'm experiencing this again too, I just had my hysterectomy, which was a partial hysterectomy where they took out my uterus and cervix. They left my ovaries because those are still producing hormones. But even my vision had changed. Uh-huh. And when I got mm-hmm. the pellets, which they dropped in for me, the pellets that I got were estrogen and testosterone. They take your blood. They see how much level of hormone you have in your blood. And based on that, they put it into a computer, the levels that you have. And then that tells the doctors how much medicine to give you. And hence why, if you're not taking your blood every time, they don't know how much to give you. The first time mm-hmm. I received them, I sat on the table in the doctor's office, and said, okay, God, if this is going to help me, I understand that these do potentially could cause cancer, but I guess everything in the world does now. I just need this to help me. I did not want to be a psycho mom, as I call it. I didn't want to be gripey. I didn't want to be, you know, I wanted to be on my A game with my kids, because being a mom and a wife are super important to me. I just assume that they are to everybody. But that was the thing for me as to why I even chose to do it, because I wanted to be the best mom I could be. I wanted to be the best wife I could be. I have great kids and a great husband, but I felt sick. I didn't feel my best. And even going back to the gym and working out all the time, I still couldn't. I just knew something was wrong. Something was off. And I had about, the last straw that I got to before I got the pellets was I was dizzy. Okay. And I asked my daughter, can you drive me and my son to lunch today on a Sunday? Because my husband was working. Because if I get one more decibel dizzy, I don't think I can drive us home. And I'm afraid of that. Like, that's a crazy thing to ask.
Yes. Yes.
That's scary. That's very scary. Said, okay, I need help. I'm going to go to the OBGYN. I got the pellets because they were convenient. They last 3 months. You're not taking a pill or you're not changing out a patch. And I just thought, this is great for my crazy busy life of momming, working full-time as a real estate broker. And then I even got my loan officer's license because the real estate market was so crazy. I couldn't get funding to my clients. And if I can't get my clients a house, can't work, can't sell houses. It was all of it in one. It was like the perfect storm. And so I just opted for pellets because that fit my lifestyle. And I wish I'm probably could dig it up somewhere because I'm a spreadsheet queen because I like being organized, but I had about 20 different symptoms, but those first four were the onset of it. If you have hot flashes, you know you're in it. If you have night sweats, that could possibly be your hormones are off. And so throughout all my research, I got on Instagram and started following a lot of people, a lot of doctors, a lot of women who were nurse practitioners or doctors or just people talking about it. And so it's all over social media. So you can also get lost in that, which is why I love that, Suzanne, you said you read several books and finally it was down to one, because like there's a school of thought for everything, it seems like. So what I've defaulted to is listen to your body.
Absolutely.
And I had gotten so sick. I started spot bleeding, and this is in 2023, June 3rd, which was when I was supposed to get my next round of pellets. But they also say there's two different schools of thought. Don't quit it cold turkey. Or I was just like, these are making me sick and I'm not getting any better. And I went on this hunt for new doctors, saw four OBGYNs, two different types of chiropractors, and a general practitioner. All of them said, oh my gosh, get off the pellets. This is, I would have never done that. I would have never given you, because I took my dosage of, you know, all my medical records to these doctors and said, this is what has been going on. How can you help me? And so you're like looking for any help you can get. You feel so miserable. And then you're like, when you hear these doctors tell you all this, you're like, oh my gosh, what did I do? Yeah. I was just trying to be an emotionally stable wife, an emotionally stable mom, be the kick-ass realtor, excuse my French, but that you want to be, and you know, the rock star of life. And
when you feel like dirt, you just can't, you don't have the energy. It just really, really just wipes out your energy levels.
Yeah. So I would love to say to everybody, if you're spot bleeding and you haven't had a cycle, and you know, that's the thing about it. Perimenopause can last for 10 years.
Yeah.
And you'll have a period and you won't. Yeah.
Well, see, and then, you know, Christy and I, we're different because we had the hysterectomies before you, like we completely, like that part of our system, you know, we don't bleed anymore. Like we don't have a cycle anymore. So ours is completely, you know, done. So when you were going through all of this with your pellets, and you still had your cycle before you had your hysterectomy. And it took a little bit for you to be convinced. I think we finally
to be comfortable. Well,
and hopefully a doctor, you know, also convinced you. But I think after talking to Christy and I, we were like, girl, you would never, you're going to feel absolutely incredible once you get something out of your body.
Yeah. And, it was.
Yeah.
It was you, Suzanne, Christy, and your mom, Suzanne.
Yeah.
And y'all kept saying, oh my gosh, you're going to feel so much better when you do this. You're going to feel so much better. The reason why I found myself on the fence of, do I have a hysterectomy or do I let this doctor who, because I'm very, like, what I told this new doctor I found in my search of doctors, he's a general practitioner. I was like, listen, I love Eastern medicine if it works, but if it doesn't, give me that Western medicine. I'm open-minded. I want to heal as naturally as I can. Well, he said, well, what I can do. So what happened? I stopped the pellets cold turkey and on June 3rd started spot bleeding. And I thought, this is just my body trying to get back to normal.
Of course.
And this is normal
right.
because I got off the pellets. And so I'm really not, quote, that's the bad thing about perimenopause and menopause is that you can't really stop the clock
right.
unless you've had 12 consecutive months of no cycle. And then your body's like, hey, peekaboo, here's another one. And you're like, mm-hmm. oh, I hate you. Now I got to start my clock over. Mm-hmm. But and that's for people, like you said, that are different. If you've been on the pill for a long period mm-hmm. of time, which, by the way, that's the same hormone therapy as pellets. So,
oh, I didn't know
ladies,
that.
Do your research on birth control pills. My daughter's 21. She has the Nexplanon in her arm, which I probably shouldn't share her health history. That's a violation. But any young girl probably has that. And I'm trying to encourage my own daughter.
IUD.
Look for an alternate solution. And if you can be as chemical-free as possible, because there are so many side effects that, especially when you're in your 20s, how many friends do we have? We could probably count them all up between all of our different friend groups. If they had trouble trying to get pregnant, or mm-hmm. I had a friend in college who had a stroke because she was smoking mm-hmm. cigarettes with the mm-hmm. birth control pill and had a stroke.
It's cut out. She had what?
These can be dangerous, but they don't really.
Yeah. Yeah.
A stroke in college. She had a stroke in college.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. You were just cutting out for a little bit. And I do want to make a very loud statement. We are not doctors. No. We are not pretending to be doctors. No. We are just giving you
our experience.
We're just sharing our story. We're not giving any recommendations. You know, this is just our opinion. As my friend who's an attorney, she's like, I'm an attorney, but I'm not your attorney. Well, I am not a doctor, and I'm not your doctor.
Yeah, right.
So, and I would never tell someone what to do.
No.
I'm just going to share my experience and hope that if it resonates in them, they'll go search to do their homework.
Yeah. Right? Yes. Everybody's body is so, so very different. I know, Shalene, do you have like, two recommendations to send people, like either an Instagram person to follow or something that you've researched? Is there like two things that you would recommend people look into?
Yes. So my two things is, now that I've gone through all this, because I've bled for 6 months and thought some of it was normal and it wasn't, is listen to your body. If you are even in your 40s, or if you've had on again, off again cycles, press your doctors. And mm-hmm. What I've seen a lot is this: if your doctor is not asking you these questions, then, and you've probably seen this on an Instagram post because I've seen it too, and I'm just going to repeat it. The one that really I love is, if your doctor is not asking you about your lifestyle, are you exercising? What is your job and how much stress? Then they're, quote, and this is what the post says, but I'm going to repeat it. Then they're a drug dealer. And that is what I got caught up in my opinion of what I feel like.
Okay.
So make sure, number one, you listen to your body. And number two, that you press your doctor, do your research, and ask all the right questions. If they're not looking at your whole health of everything instead of just one thing and, you know, a set of symptoms, then you could miss the mark. And there's misdiagnoses all the time, but just keep listening and watch your body, create a log. Okay. And then the followers, like I have so many, Dr. Goodwell, I think it's Goodwell. I'll get the Instagram and we can follow up and post that later. I'll get the two people on Instagram that I follow a lot.
Okay.
I try to do natural, holistic medical doctors, because I do want them to be trained in medicine. Because again, if we need medicine, then give it to me. But if we don't have to have it, and one doctor said, well, I can give you a high dose of progesterone that would try to shed your lining and get it back down to, it's supposed to be between an 8 and 9 millimeters. Mine was at a 14, so it was almost double what it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then that becomes dangerous. And so then it can harden once it's thickened. And then, so anyway, so just.
And we will do a part two of this too with some of our like more in-depth research and more in-depth information and recommendations. But this is, you know, basically we touched on, you know, what we're going through and hopefully, you know, like you said, I mean, if, you know, gaining followers, because it's a community of people that need, you know, you think you're the only one, or you think that, you know, am I weird, or am I, is there something wrong with me? Or,
yeah, I kind of,
you know, do all women really do this? Is this really a thing? You know, whatever.
Yeah. For me,
what were you saying, Christy?
For me, I had to have an extensive surgery, because after my first hysterectomy, I continued to go back to my same doctor. And then I had an additional problem where I was losing a lot of weight, and I went in with him, and he would not listen to me. And finally he was out one day, and his assistant, you're going to find out who they are. She was like, what you're going through is not normal. And if he's not listening to you, then you need to find somebody mm-hmm. else. So I was like, all right, absolutely. Then that's what I'm gonna do. Cause I felt so loyal. I mean, he delivered my baby. So I thought for sure, absolutely. He was always on my side. He was my doctor for over 15 years. And I was like, no, it's fine. But then I was like, you know what? And as soon as I went to a different provider and I told her what it was, she's like, well, we can try the pill for a month, but I'm telling you, that's not going to help you, but let's try it. I'm like, all right. So we did. And then next thing you know, I have to have two doctors assist in a surgery to fix what I had problems with. And so for me, I say, of course, listen to your own body, but also you have to stand up for yourself. If something still doesn't feel right, just because a doctor says it's that way, you can go into other doctors, and you don't have to go in being like, this doctor did it wrong. And this doctor, you don't have to say that, because I know I worked for a doctor. They do like to not throw each other under the bus. And sometimes one mm-hmm. specialty for one doctor is not a specialty for another. And I think that maybe if you don't have a lot of girlfriends that are in this stage of your life yet, then, you know, maybe that's what we're here for, to help you with that.
Yeah. We'll be your girlfriend.
Absolutely. We'll be there.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's no topic off limits for me. Which is either good or bad, but I mean, cause sometimes we just gotta have somebody that can just help us and listen to us through these crazy things. Yes.
Absolutely. My two recommendations, I started following, well, first of all, I found a lady, forgot how I found her, but I think just looking up menopause things on YouTube, it's Dr. Mindy Pelz, P-E-L-Z, and she's incredible, focuses on women's health, and then weight loss for whoever, but specifically menopausal, all stages of menopause. And her book, I did read The Menopause Reset, which really, really helped me. And it's not just, you know, talking about symptoms, but it talks about all of our hormones in our body as women, and what they do and what we need for each of those hormones. And so I'm not going to get into it, like I said, because we have a part two coming soon. But The Menopause Reset is a book that I read. And then I also, because she focuses so much on women's health and fasting, which also really helps women in menopause, perimenopause, or any part of your life, Fast Like a Girl, I would definitely recommend. Not finished with it yet, but it is a fabulous book. And like I said, you can find her on YouTube. So Dr. Mindy Pelz, those are my two recommendations. And then, of course, you know, I will ditto everything that Christy and Shalene said about know your own body and don't be scared to ask questions or change or question your doctor, because, yes, they are experts, but you also know that, you know, if what's working and what's not working in your own body.
Right.
All right, guys. Well, we hit the 30-minute mark. Okay. We are a little over, and it's okay, but we have a lot of topics coming. Like I said, this is the Girls Trippin' series with three of the most amazing 50 and fabulous women that you're going to listen to.
ever.
Kidding, not kidding. But anyway, we will see you soon. You know, join us again for another interesting topic, because I know we have some hot topics coming very soon. So anyway, as far as tonight goes, thank you, ladies, so much.
That's fun.
It was so much fun.
Don't be
all
tripping.
Right, and I love y'all. All right, yeah, happy tripping. We'll talk soon.
Okay, or maybe do. Bye.
Bye. Have a good night. Bye.
You too.